read the translation to Saparshita Gauravira Havila. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where are my Saurabh Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. It's August 31st, 2020, in Hillsboro, North Carolina, and today is the anniversary of the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivasesa Sanyavati Paskacha De Satani Vandeham Shri Bhagavad Shri Ujjapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvajutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Anchakalpa Chikrishcha Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavrinda I always found it interesting that in our Prema Dhwani prayers we particularly mention Haridas Thakur. Now of all the devotees, mention Haridas. So I want to read, this section doesn't have purports. So I wanted to read from Anchalila, chapter 11. And at first, Lord Chaitanya goes to see Haridas. He went to see Haridas every day because Haridas, having been born in a Muslim family, wasn't allowed to enter the Jagannath Puri temple, just like most of us would not be allowed to enter. They only want Hindus to enter. And that's not unreasonable that you want people not to come as tourists. You want people to come who are going to be serious about praying, just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his early pastimes in Navadvip at Srivas Anga. They didn't allow non-devotees to enter. So we sometimes may have gatherings like that, you know, just for devotees. Like our Bhakti Shastri classes, in order to attend, you have to have a recommendation from an ISKCON authority. You have to already be chanting 16 rounds. You know, it's not an open to the public program. And then we have other programs that are open to the public. So this concept that you might want to have some worship that's just for serious practitioners, that other people don't disturb the atmosphere, is not entirely unreasonable. Maybe some of you know that in Mecca, no non-Muslims are allowed even to enter the city. So I don't know how they check, but you can't even get into the city perimeter unless you're a Muslim. The difficulty is that the Jagannath Puri temple ascertains who is a serious practitioner on the basis strictly of birth. And you know, your accent, the amount of melanin in your skin, that kind of thing. So even, you know, Hindus born in India who are from Kashmir and have green eyes and light skin may have difficulty getting in. So this was a concept that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really shattered by saying that Haridas Thakur was a Nam Acharya, that although he was born in a Muslim family, but externally, he just simply wasn't allowed in the Jagannath Puri temple. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to visit him every day. So just imagine, you're not allowed to go to the temple, but God comes to visit you every day. And that was, even just, you know, so many people go to a temple, they see the deity and they're just thinking it's something ritual, or they think the deity is just a statue or something like that. They may go to the temple, but not really engage with the fact that the Lord is there, but then the Lord is coming to see Haridas. So one day when he went to see Haridas Thakur, he could see that Haridas was not well. And he said, what's the news? And Haridas said, well, I'm not feeling very well. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what's the problem? He said, the problem is that I'm not able to finish my rounds. So Haridas Thakur chanted either 178 or 192, depending on how one calculates, of japa every day. Yeah, so some of us may struggle to chant 16 rounds. I know a lot of devotees who really, oh my God, I don't know if I can chant 16 rounds every day. But Haridas Thakur was chanting at least 178 rounds every day. I think I've mentioned before, I met one woman in London. We did a program at her home, evening program at her home. And she said to me, the devotees complain that I don't spend enough time studying the Shastra. So she had a husband and a 12-year-old son, and she had her own deities that she worshipped. And I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, I'm always chanting. She said, I love chanting. I said, well, how many rounds do you chant every day? She said, 150 at least. And I'm like, why are you chanting so many rounds? She said, because it's so wonderful. So sometimes we can meet devotees like this. Or one of my god sisters told me that when she first came to ISKCON, she thought of all of the different practices. I particularly love japa. As soon as she came, like within, you know, a day. And she said within a few months she was chanting 40 rounds every day. And after that she decided, well, I should stop there because Prabhupada also wants us to do other things. For a long time she was a temple president. It was funny, when I would be talking with her sometimes, she says, I have to go chant my rounds. She says, I have my morning rounds and my afternoon rounds. I always chant at least 40 rounds every day. So there are many devotees, even in our current contemporary society, who have this kind of great love for chanting the holy names. Right? I have another god sister who chants at least 58 rounds every day, one lap. So this was Haridas Thakur as a Namacharya. Now, he also would give classes on the Shastra. It's explained that the devotees would come. And sometimes he would go out on preaching with Lord Nityananda. And so as he complained about having Lord Nityananda as his preaching associate. Lord Nityananda Yamaduta. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that, you know, you're old now, you can reduce your chanting. Mm-hmm. And Haridas Thakur says, no, this is not what I want. He says that you've made me do so many things, like you made me accept the Shraddha ceremony, which is only supposed to be offered to Brahmanas, but now I have a desire. He says, I think that quite soon, my Lord, you will bring to a close your pastimes within this material world. I wish that you not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes. Before that time comes, kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. With my tongue I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. O most merciful Lord, if by your mercy it is possible, kindly grant my desire. Let this low-born body fall down before you. You can make possible this perfection of all of my desires. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Haridas, Krishna is so merciful that he must execute whatever you want. But whatever happiness is mine is all due to your association. It is not fitting for you to go away and leave me behind. Catching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, do not create an illusion. Although I am so fallen, you must certainly show me this mercy. My Lord, there are many respectable personalities, millions of devotees who are fit to sit on my head. They are all helpful in your pastimes. If an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss? If an ant dies, where is the loss to the material world? You are always affectionate to your devotees. I'm just an imitation devotee. The Bengali is Bhakta Abbas. Abbas means like a reflection or a shadow. But nevertheless, I wish that you fulfill my desire. That is my expectation. So Lord Chaitanya said, I'll come back tomorrow. So I think this exchange between Haridas Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very important. Okay? In our Bhakti Shastri classes yesterday, we were studying Ishopanishad. We had two classes, an introduction through Mantra 3 and then Mantra 4 through Mantra 8. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining in those purports how we all have to act according to the will of the Lord. Whatever talents we have, whatever possessions we have, we should use those in the service of the Lord, according to the will of the Lord. But Srila Prabhupada also said that the jiva has its own initiative and energy. So it's not that because we act, if we were discussing this yesterday, it's not that because we are acting according to the will of the Lord that we become robots. Just like my phone, it's a machine. So when I tell my phone, open up the database, it opens up the database. And if it doesn't do that, then I have to get it fixed. Yeah? The phone can't say, well, I don't really want to open up the database today. Can we open up a different app? There's a different app I'd like. It doesn't do that. It doesn't have its own desire. It's a machine. So we say Krishna doesn't enjoy the material energy. He's not enjoying matter. Why? Because matter doesn't reciprocate. Well, Krishna wants a reciprocal relationship of love, and to have a reciprocal relationship of love, the jiva has its own initiative and energy. This is even true between Krishna and his different expansions and incarnations. We were speaking a lot previously with Pralambasura about the relationship between Krishna and Balaram. Yeah, like Balaram didn't know it was a demon, and Krishna knew it was a demon. So here the devotee, the jiva, is saying to the Lord, I want to leave this planet before you do. I don't want to see your closing pastimes. I want to go first. And the Lord is saying basically, no, I want to go first. I don't want to be on this earth without you. And Haridas is saying, I don't want to be here without you. And Mahaprabhu is saying, well, I don't want to be here without you. You know, and then Haridas is saying, I'm not important. You have so many other devotees. I mean, just think, Mahaprabhu was going to see Haridas Thakur every day. He had so many, thousands and thousands of devotees. And when the devotees would extend an invitation for lunch, they had to be on a schedule, as they say in many parts of the world, a rota. You know, who can feed the Lord? And sometimes they'd have to double up or triple up, because there wasn't enough room in the calendar for everybody. Right? And that's just a few devotees. Many of the devotees were just seeing Mahaprabhu from a distance. But here, Lord Chaitanya is personally going to see Haridas Thakur every day. So who wins here? Does the Lord win or does the devotee win? Who wins? The devotee wins. The devotee wins. You know, we have this concept that if I surrender to Krishna, you know, I'll lose some of my autonomy. I'll lose something. If I'm in rebellion, then, you know, I can do what I want, when I want. That's what all kids think will happen when they grow up. Sorry, it doesn't quite work that way. But, you know, when we're a kid, we think, oh, yeah, I got this mother and father telling me what to do. I can't wait till I'm an adult and I can just do whatever I like. Right? And you're an adult and you find out, huh, I gotta pay bills, I gotta fix the plumbing, I gotta do what the government wants, whatever, you know. And I gotta do what my employer wants. But we're thinking like that, you know, we're thinking if I surrender to Krishna, then I'm just going to become like a slave. The early translations into Russian of Prabhupada's books, they translated servant as slave. Bhakti Vigyan Swami, who later translated the books, he told me, you know, the main reason they wanted to get Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj out of Russia, they got him into Sweden by some interesting methods. So he said the main reason they wanted to get him out of Russia to make sure he didn't go into jail was they needed him to retranslate all Prabhupada's books from these terrible translations. So we think like that. You know, I'm going to become just a slave like the African Americans were, you know, you're just beaten if you don't immediately say, yes, sir. But it's not like that with Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, I don't want you to do that. Okay, well, Krishna has to fulfill whatever you want. I'll come back tomorrow. Now, not all of us can place an order with the Lord for how we want to die. Now, of course, we can always ask, we can always say, my dear Lord, this is how I would like to leave my body. But in this case, Haridas Thakur, he said, this is how and when I want to leave my body. And his decision was, I can't do my service anymore. And I don't want to be here without you. So the next morning, after visiting the Jagannath temple, Lord Chaitanya went with all of his devotees to see Haridas Thakur, and Haridas offered respects to the Lord and all the Vaishnavas. And then Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Haridas, what is the news? And then Lord Chaitanya began great congregational chanting with Vakeshwar Pandit as the chief dancer. Mahaprabhu loved Vakeshwar Pandit's dancing. He said, you are like a wing, and if I had another wing like you, I could fly in the sky. Huh? We always like to visit Vakeshwar Pandit's temple at Radhakund. So in front of all the devotees like Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur as if he had five mouths, and he got happier and happier as he was describing them. So I also found this very interesting, because sometimes devotees note that we wait until after someone dies to glorify them. It's like we wait until the funeral and the memorial ceremony to glorify them. But here Mahaprabhu was glorifying Haridas Thakur before he left. My ex-brother-in-law, he used to call himself my brother outlaw. So when he was very, very nice person. He met Srila Prabhupada. He went to Vrindavan. He was an impersonalist, but he went to Vrindavan. He circumambulated Tulsi at our temples, took a lot of prasadam. He always remained very affectionate with me. Actually, I miss him quite a bit. But before he passed away a couple years ago, so instead of having a big funeral after his passing, they had a celebration of life, they called it, like a couple weeks before he passed. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing this with Haridas Thakur. You know, he's having this big celebration first where he's glorifying him as if he had five mouths, and he's getting happier and happier and happier. And then all the devotees were wonderstruck and offered obeisances to Haridas Thakur. So we don't have time today, but there's wonderful chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Haridas Thakur's glories. And also in Chaitanya Bhagavad, how Haridas Thakur was tempted by Mayadevi, but made her a disciple. Right? He was tempted by a prostitute, made her a disciple. turned it around. The story of Haridas Thakur with the snake in his tail. There's so many wonderful, wonderful stories. So the devotees were all amazed. So we can understand that maybe some of the devotees hadn't heard all these stories yet. They were hearing them, or even hearing them again. They were struck with wonder. Then Haridas Thakur made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him and fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. So it says in a few verses later that his passing reminded everyone of Bhishma. And this is what Bhishma did. It says one of my favorite verses in the Bhagavatam, that this the man who spoke on thousands of topics with thousands of meanings and fought on thousands of battlefields with thousands of men suddenly stopped speaking and fixed his wide-open eyes on the personality of Godhead, who had beautiful garments that glittered and shone. So Haridas Thakur was similarly fixing his wide-open eyes on the personality of God. Imagine if one could leave one's body with the Lord personally present in front of you. And you could just be looking at the Lord. He held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart, and then took the dust of the feet of all the devotees present and put it on his head. Now this reminds us of the passing of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, after he retired from ruling the kingdom, and he's in the mountains, the Vaikuntha airplane comes for him. And there he sees death personified. And instead of just saying, bye guys, he goes to all of the, well, he takes a bath, he puts on jewels, auspicious jewels. Prabhupada said, today if we don't have auspicious jewels, we can just wear tilak. And then he goes to all the devotees, because there were many sages and devotees there, and he offered obeisances to all of them. He took the dust from their head, even though the Vaikuntha airplane was there waiting for him. So Haridas Thakur also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is right there. He's looking at him, he's putting his lotus feet on his heart, and still he takes the dust from all the devotees on his head. He begins to chant the holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, again and again. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord. This idea of drinking, Pramantiye Bhagavata Atmanasatam. We talk about, Sukadeva Goswami talks about drinking the Bhagavatam. So he's drinking the lotus face of the Lord. The sweetness of the lotus face. As one devotee that I know, actually all of you know, who one time said to me, the holy name is actually sweet. It's not a metaphor. As he was drinking the sweetness of the lotus face of the Lord, tears were constantly gliding from his eyes, and he gave up his air of life and left his body. And then everyone remembered the passing of Bhishma. There was a tumultuous noise. Everyone said, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
And Lord Chaitanya became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. He raised the body of Haridas Thakur and put it on his lap. Then he began to dance in the courtyard. So the passing of a great devotee, I mean, in one sense it's very sad because we lose their association on this plane, but in another sense it's a great celebration. Just like, you know, when your adult children get married and move away from home, so you may be very sad while they're moving away, but you're very happy that they're entering into their new life, right? When someone graduates from college, the other students, oh, we're not going to see you, but you're very happy that they're going on to their new life. Because of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic love, all the devotees were helpless. And in ecstatic love, they also began to dance and chant congregationally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced for some time. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Radharani's mood. So Lalita is Radharani's most confidential associate. She's older than Radharani. So she's often advising Radharani. So Swarup Damodar is advising Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's some rituals we have to do. Now, of course, for a devotee like Haridas Thakur, the rituals are not very important. The rituals are there for most people to ensure that we don't become a ghost, that we can go on seamlessly to our next destination. That's not necessary for someone like Haridas. But still, in order to preserve these rituals which are needed for most people, you don't want to have the devotees on the higher platform setting an example that other people will say, well, we don't need to do these also. So you inform Lord Chaitanya, we have to do the rituals. So then they put the body, this I thought was really interesting, they put the body of Haridas Thakur onto a carrier that looked like an airship. So how many years ago is this? Over 500 years ago. Were there airships? Not as we know. Right? It wasn't like United Airlines and Air India. But the Vedas talk about airships. Yeah? The people there, they knew about airships. They had a carrier, looked like an airship. And was taken to the sea. Jagannath Puri is right on the ocean. And then Lord Chaitanya danced in front of the procession, and Vikeshwar Pandit also chanted, and other devotees chanted and danced. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea and said, from this day on, the sea has become a great pilgrimage site. It was already a great pilgrimage site. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing in the sea every day. and all of the sacred rivers flow into the sea. It says in the Bhagavatam, if you can't bathe in the Ganga or the Yamuna, you can bathe in the sea. We're not too far from the sea here. 3 hours over Cook Island. And then you have to take a ferry. Now, 3 hours from the shore, and then you take a ferry to Ocracoke, or you can just go on the shore. So the sea's become a great pilgrimage site. Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, and then they smeared the remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over Haridas' body. After a hole was dug in the sand, the body of Haridas Thakur was placed into it, and remnants from Lord Jagannath, such as his silken robe, sandalwood pulp, food and cloth, were placed on the body. So his body was placed into samadhi, it was buried. Generally, the physical bodies of great saints are not cremated, because it's understood that their physical body is imbued with spiritual potency. That although it's a physical body, it's no longer full of material elements. So the analogy is to a hot iron rod. You put, of course, we don't see blacksmith shops very much in 2020 in Hillsborough. I mean, unless you go like to the state fair or something. But we can think of it like a pot on the fire. So if you take a stainless steel pot and you put it on the fire, it also becomes hot. So when you put an iron rod in the fire, it becomes so hot, maybe some of you have seen it, it starts glowing red, much hotter than like a pot on a fire, and if you touch that rod to anything, it will burst into flames. So although it's iron, it acts like fire. So because the devotee's physical body is constantly being saturated with prema, with love for the Lord, it acts like a spiritual body. So then all around the body, the devotees performed congregational chanting and Vikeshwara Pandit danced in jubilation. By the way, we should mention that this attribute of the bodies of saints, this is not only in our Gaudiya tradition or our Vaishnava tradition. One of the books that we use in our Vedas and Modern Science course, which we started for the Champakulta, started for the Gurukul students, and she's also opened it up if other members of the community would like to take this course, where we look at the areas of apparent difference and contradiction between the Bhagavatam and modern science. And one of the books we use from reference details a lot of things that can't be explained by modern science. And one of them is the attributes of the bodies of saints. And the examples they give are mostly Catholic saints, but persons whose bodies never deteriorated. You know, after they died, the bodies never decomposed. And some of them, the bodies give out an aromatic fragrance, even, you know, decades after the person has died. And anyone who takes this substance becomes healed of different diseases. And it's all these incredible stories of saintly persons where their bodies were extraordinary. So with his transcendental hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand, chanting, Haribo, Haribo. The devotees covered the body with sand and then constructed a platform upon the site, which was protected by fencing. And Lord Chaitanya chanted and danced around the platform, and as the holy name of Hari roared tumultuously, the whole universe became filled with the vibration. Then Lord Chaitanya and the devotees bathed in the sea. They were swimming and playing in the water with great jubilation. So this is, it was celebration. Because the great devotees coming, going, it's both celebratory. Then Lord Chaitanya went to the Simadwar gate of the Jagannath temple, and the whole city was chanting in congregation. And then Lord Chaitanya spread his cloth, and he went to all the shopkeepers, and he said, I would like some prasadam for Haridas Thakur's festival. So all the shopkeepers immediately came forward with baskets of prasadam. And then Swarup Damodar stopped them. And he said, sit down with your baskets. And he told Lord Chaitanya, would you please go home? So Mahaprabhu wanted to personally make all the collections. But Swarup Damodar was like, you know, I'll take care of this. You can go home. I'll take care of this. So then Swarup Damodar, he kept 4 Vaishnavas and 4 servants' carriers, and he said to all the shopkeepers, each of you give me 4 palmfuls of prasadam from each and every item that you had. So in this way, they collected a huge variety of items. and they loaded this on the heads of the servant. And then also, Baninath Patanayaka and Kashi Mishra also sent large quantities in addition to that sent by the shopkeepers. Then Lord Chaitanya had everyone sit in rows, and he personally began to distribute the prasadam. Imagine if we had a festival and Golokananda comes off the altar and starts personally serving all the prasadam to everybody. And Lord Chaitanya wasn't used to eating in small quantities. Krishna can eat a lot. He can eat the whole universe. So he's putting on everyone's plate what five people could eat. And so again, Srila Damodar intervenes and says, would you please sit down? Said, I'll distribute the prasadam. So then four men, Srila Damodar, Jagadananda, Kashisvara, and Shankara, distributed the prasadam continuously. But nobody would eat, because Lord Chaitanya didn't eat. And the problem was that Kashi Mishra had extended an invitation to Lord Chaitanya on that day, because the Lord would eat at different devotees' houses every day. So Lord Chaitanya didn't want to eat, because he was supposed to go to Kashi Mishra's house and eat. Right? So then what happened was Kashi Mishra came, and he brought all the prasadam he would have served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at home, and he brought it to the festival. So that way Lord Chaitanya could eat what Kashi Mishra had arranged and eat at the festival. So then, once Lord Chaitanya was eating, then everybody else was willing to eat. So then with Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and accepted the prasadam, and then everybody ate. But the problem was that even though Lord Chaitanya wasn't distributing the prasadam anymore, he kept telling everyone who was distributing, give them more, give them more, give them more. So it says the devotees were all stuffed up to the neck. And after everyone finished prasadam and they'd washed their hands and mouth, then Lord Chaitanya personally decorated every one of the devotees with a flower garland and sandalwood pulp. Somebody was very busy making flower garlands and grinding sandalwood pulp. I don't have time to tell a wonderful story about Sao Paulo, Brazil, and garlands. But we'll just say briefly, we had a big event there and they hadn't made enough garlands. And so the whole temple was making garlands. We stripped the garden bare and we took everything out of the cooler. And even I went on the altar and put my back to everybody and grabbed the vases and took them off the altar. And we were using those vases to make garlands so everybody could get a garland. Then Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who has seen the festival of Sri Haridas Thakur's passing away, anyone who has chanted and danced here, anyone who has offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakur, and anyone who has joined this festival to partake of the prasadam will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. There is such wonderful power in seeing Haridas Thakur. Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. How is Krishna speaking? Reminds me of when little Krishna was speaking to Nalakuvera Manigriva after little Krishna knocks down the twin Arjuna trees and he liberates them and they again appear as demigods. He said, you are so fortunate. Why? Is he going to say you're so fortunate because you're seeing me? He says, you're so fortunate because you got to see Narada Muni. So this is the mood of the Lord. I am so fortunate to have the association of my devotees. Being independent in his desires, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakur wanted, speaking about Krishna, when Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to stop him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away exactly like Bhishma. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of the world. Without him, this world is now bereft of its valuable jewel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, say all glories to Haridas Thakur.
All glories to Haridas Thakur.
And chant the holy name of Hari. Saying this, he personally began to dance. Again, there's a lot of dancing going on. Everyone began to chant. All glories to Haridas Thakur, who revealed the importance of chanting the holy name of Hari. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the devotees, and he himself, with mixed feelings of happiness and distress, took rest. Anyone who hears this narration will certainly fix his mind firmly in devotional service to Krishna. So we have a few minutes. Maharaj, which is something you'd like to add? Anybody else? Anything you'd like to add? Correct? Ask?
I was just thinking the whole time about the place in Jagannath Puri where Haridas Thakur was buried. It's just a really wonderful place.
Where Haridas Thakur was buried, his samadhi, yeah.
It's right near the ocean. And people come from all over the world to take darshan of his samadhi. And there's always people chanting in there. And there's always some group in there, you know, it's like a very busy place. And just thinking about all the benedictions people get for glorifying Haridas Thakur and paying obeisances to them. And then there's the tree, the Bapula tree, that place where he's
chanting.
Bhajan. That's also a very wonderful place.
So those of you on the internet, Rajananda was talking about the Haridas Thakur Samadhi and the Bakula tree that he chanted under in Jagannath Puri, and how many people go there and get these benedictions. And the only time we visited Jagannath Puri was in 1986. We were there on our way to Mayapur for Mahaprabhu's 500th anniversary. And I was particular, of all the places, my favorite was the Samadhi Haridas Thakur. As soon as you go there, immediately you just feel the incredible transcendental spiritual energy, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's interesting when you go to, those who haven't been to India before, when you go, like you spend some time practicing devotional service and never been there, and then you go there and you're like, well, this place is real. It's like, he's there.
Yes. It's not just a story in a book.
Exactly.
Right? You go to these places and you experience, you can still experience Haridas Thakur's presence.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah. This is the special potency of great saintly persons. They're not limited.
And they bathed him in that ocean there too.
Yes.
And so Mahaprabhu said something about whoever.
He said, while we were reading that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, whoever bathes here in this ocean, they get benedictions, that it's a holy place by bathing the body of Haridas Thakur. And one thing that's very important as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to keep very vibrant this important mission of being non-discriminatory when it comes to birth and body in devotional service. You know, we see that sometimes when devotees spend a lot of time in India, they may associate with parts of the Indian culture and the Hindu culture that maintains the kind of attitude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching against. And they may think that by bringing that attitude into ISKCON, we're going to become more traditional and more authentic. But that attitude is not actually authentic. It was something that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to get rid of. It's something that he came to purify. It was an impurity. Like Krishna talks about how he comes whenever apparent dharma becomes adharma. So it was something adharmic that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to get rid of. And it's not that we should introduce that into ISKCON in the name of being, you know, more pure or more traditional or something like that. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Gaurakananda ki jai.